Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is the third message I'm bringing on this verse. The first two times we focused more on the pure in heart. Today we want to look at seeing God. I invite you to turn to Matthew 5, 1 through 12. We want to read the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5. What does seeing God mean? They shall see God. I shared Wednesday night, and I'll share this again a little bit. I do fencing, for those of you who don't know, and I drove up to a job site in Elkhart and reached for to measure for a quote, and I reached for my tape measure, and it wasn't there, and I remembered we had done some things with we had to switch some vehicles around and whatever, and the tape measure was in the van, and I didn't have a tape measure. I do have a toolbox, I have seat pockets, I have different things, and I am one that tends to have an extra one of different things at different times, and so I was looking for a tape measure, but I didn't find one. But I shared Wednesday night, I don't know that I prayed that God would give me a tape measure, but I just had this sense or this feeling that somehow God was going to make this work out. And it was, again, it was a job that I couldn't just step it off or something. I needed something to be more precise than that. And I looked over and there was a roll-off dumpster sitting there. And I looked in the dumpster and there was styrofoam sandwich containers. There was insulation. There was discarded building materials. And there was a tape measure. It had the tip broken off, but it was good enough for what I needed. And I didn't see any other tools. I didn't see anything else. If I'd have needed a hammer, if I'd have needed a saw, if I'd have needed whatever, there wasn't anything like that there. But what I needed was a tape measure, and that's what was there. And I thank the Lord for that. Was that seeing God? What does it mean? The pure in heart shall see God. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. I'd like to ask you to join me in reading the verses 3 through 12. I'll read 1 and 2 and then ask you to join me in reading the rest. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. My goal today is for us to have a renewed sense of expectancy and an anticipation of seeing God. If we are pure in heart, we shall see God. The way we use the word see, usually, I'm going to give you some examples. In Job 19, it says, I know, Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He plans on seeing him. I know he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Matthew 26, I'll turn to that. Matthew 26, verses 63 and 64 talks about seeing. Matthew 26, verses 63 and 64. This is Jesus speaking. Well, in verse 63, it's the high priest speaking first. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And in John 19:39, it says, They shall look on him whom they pierced. So is that what's meant by seeing? This is the high priest who obviously was not a godly man. Jesus said, You're going to see me coming. You're going to see me sitting on the right hand of God. It says that they shall see him whom they pierced. Well, it can't mean that because it says the pure in heart shall see God. I believe the way it's used, the way it's meant, if you go to John chapter 3, it's actually given in the opposite meaning here, but it gives us what the idea here. John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now here Jesus says you can't see it unless you've been born again. But the idea of the seeing is experiencing, is understanding, comprehending, grasping, whatever you... It's more than just looking at it with your eye, but it's understanding what's going on there. Look at verse 36 in the same chapter, John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And in Psalm 16:10 it says that you won't allow your Holy One to see corruption. So it's the idea of seeing God is the idea of experiencing God. Blessed are the pure in spirit, for they shall experience God. They shall know God. They shall have interaction with God. In 1 John 3, let's go to 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. We have the same thing. Jesus said, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And in 1 John 3, 1 through 3, we have it saying the same thing, but reversed. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's experiencing God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And now he gives us a visual here. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, something I just noticed again and again through here, Jesus said, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Here he says, We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. The certainty, shall, know. There's just this certainty, this God will do, can and will do what he says. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So here he says we shall see him, and then going into verse 3, And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So Jesus said the pure will see God. Here he says those that believe that they will see God purify themselves. When is the last time that you actually thought about it? That I am going to see God. I don't suppose there's any of us that would go out in an open field in a for real thunderstorm and not be at least a little bit nervous. There's lightning bolts, maybe one hits a tree. You feel kind of vulnerable. The one who made that storm, we will see God. We will stand before God. And he that has this hope in him, he that understands and realizes this, purifies himself. I'm going to read a large block of scripture this morning. I'd like you to turn to Revelation 20. And I'd like for us to think about seeing him. What will it be like to truly experience him? And in Revelation 20, we're going to read almost the last three chapters, 20:11 through the end of the book. And he contrasts several times the experience of those who are with Christ and those who have unpurified lives. So, Revelation 20, verse 11. Just some beautiful descriptive language here of what is going to happen. This isn't something that if it all works out, it'll happen, or we think this might happen. This is the Word of God. This will happen. We may have some disagreement on timing and how it all falls together, but we can know for sure this is coming. There's a day coming when this will be a reality. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, nowhere to hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. That's the A and the Z. I'm the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who is the Lamb's wife? The church. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal.
and had a great and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Don't let yourself fall into the idea that, you know, this is fantasy. This is out there in the realm somewhere. This is reality. This is going to be our reality if we are with Christ and have purified ourselves. And had a, I'm not sure where I was now. I think I was, I'll read verse 12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The kings of the earth bring their best. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. They which are written in the Lamb's book of life do not work abomination or defile or make a lie. Verse, or chapter 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him there. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. He was an angel. We aren't to worship angels and spirits. He said, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. He said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, and this is a picture of when in verse 7 he says, behold, I come quickly. Verse 11 is a picture of when that moment happens,
How we were at that moment is how we will forever be. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. There are those that are in, and there are those that are out. I'm going to read 14 and 15 again. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs. That word dogs there, that is a male prostitute, is what that's talking about. Dogs and sorcerers, that would be someone that involved in fortune telling. Don't go to the fair and just mess around with fortune tellers. It's not a trivial thing. Sorcerers are going to have their part in the lake of fire. Whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Those are the ones that are outside. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So the Spirit and the bride invite us. And as we hear and respond to that, let him that heareth say, come. We go and we tell others, come. Let him that is athirst, come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We were down at Bible Memory Camp last week, and I told them, and I think I've said this here before, but reading a passage like this, if we could truly see, if we could take the things of God, the things of Christ, and all that God has for us, and all of His ways and His will for our life, and put it on the overhead, put it on a board, do something, make a list of that. All the things He wants us to do with our time, with our talents, with everything. And put that on a list over here. And if we could put over here all of the things that the devil tells us, it won't be fun. Do this instead, whatever it might be. If we could truly see them as they are, there would be no hesitation, no challenge, no temptation to choose anything from this list. Because the things of Christ are altogether lovely. Look at that. There's a song, I've read the back of the book and we win. The look at what is in store for both sides of the issues. Jesus, the Spirit, the bride say, come. Drink freely. It's here. It's available. It's wonderful. God Himself will wipe the tears from your eyes. You know, we deal with a lot of struggle in this life. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of things we don't understand. I was reading last night in Hebrews, and he says, don't be discouraged when you struggle. When there's things in life, you as a child of God are going to go through things that are God chastising you. God bringing out the best in you. God purifying you. Don't be discouraged by that.
Be thankful. Because any father that loves his son disciplines his son. If you're going along through life and there's no chastisement, no discipline from your father, then you don't have a father. You're an illegitimate child. Rejoice in your suffering. And that's not always easy. But there's a comfort in that. There's a comfort in the reason that things don't always go well or don't always go the way we think they should doesn't prove that we're not in God's will. It very well may be the proof that we are in God's will. What will it be like to truly experience God? Paul said, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I want to purify myself in anticipation of seeing Him. Maybe I should say in order to see Him. I mentioned we were down at Bible Memory Camp the other night. We left there, it was dark, and it was raining hard. I mean, probably as hard as any rain I've ever driven in. It's dark, the lights coming at you nearly blind you, and whatever. Everyone's driving probably 20 miles an hour, just driving really slow. Everything I was experiencing, all the rain on the windshield, the noise of the rain on the roof, the distraction, you're trying to see that white line, and you have to really, really focus to even stay on the road. None of that changed the reality. The mailboxes were still where the mailboxes had been. The trees were where the trees had been. All of the landmarks, nothing had changed. The only thing that had changed was that the rain was clouding my vision to where I could not see them. So this morning, I would like to invite you to ask yourself, there's a difference between sin. In Hebrews it talks about casting aside the sin and the weights that drag us down. Maybe you're sitting here and you say, I know, I have a sin. I have sins, whatever it might be. My heart is not pure. I talked earlier when talking about blessed are the pure in heart. There's two ways that something could be impure. You can have something that's mixed. So you have white paint and you dump some blue in. It's no longer pure white paint. It's not necessarily ruined or damaged, but it's different than it was. It's not pure white paint anymore. Or you dump a cup of sand in it. Now it's dirty. So we have sin in our lives. That's contamination. That's something that if I have sin in my life, known sin, unrepentant sin, sin that I haven't turned away from, that's a contaminant. That keeps me from being able to see God. Maybe I have not a sin necessarily, but something that's polluting it, something that's keeping it from being what it ought to be. Maybe there's rain on my windshield. What's in my life? What are the weights? What are the we have meetings in 6 weeks. I want to be able to be. I want my windshield clear at that time. And I myself, and I'm going to invite you to join me on this, and it's obviously something that you'll have to decide if you want to do. And this is going to be easier for some than others. But I want to go on a media and entertainment fast from now until the meetings. I can say with a clear conscience, I'm not involved in things on my phone or in online that are sinful, but they are distracting. They take time. They cloud your vision. they, now again, I want to clarify, you do what you want. You can do that. Maybe there's something else in your life. Maybe there's whatever it is. But for me, especially the idea of using media for entertainment, just simple distraction. There are things where I'm online a lot with email and different things, doing quotes and whatever. I'm not talking about that. But just simple whatever, media. What I'm taking in. So I invite you to join me in a media fast. Joe Biden and company will go on whether we monitor what he does or not. The news, just an invitation for you to join me if you want to. What is clouding your vision? What will keep you from seeing God now or later? I've asked Kenlin to lead us in a song, a closing song, after the closing prayer, Purer in Heart. In 1 John we read, "He that has this hope purifies himself. Blessed are the pure in heart." That's unmixed and uncontaminated. They shall, there's a certainty, they shall see God. And I can't imagine, I just can't imagine. You know, you hear of different things. I think it was Paul, maybe it was Peter, I'm not even sure now, talks about our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I think it's Paul gives the illustration of a woman in childbirth who immediately after the birth, though the birth is so painful, immediately after the birth, she forgets the pain for the joy of having a child. And I can't imagine any one of us standing around that throne and saying, you know what, this isn't all it was cracked up to be. I wish I'd have lived it my way. I wish I'd have done my thing. Not a chance. And there's not anyone who won't be there that's going to say, I'm glad I did it my way. It was so worth it. It's just the choice, the options, the alternatives are so clear and so distinct. And I just invite you to determine to be pure in heart, single-minded, single focus, with the anticipation, with the joy, someday that eastern sky is going to split wide open and we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. I ask you to stand and we'll pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You've told us you're coming. We know you will. We believe that and we embrace that. Help us, Lord, to not overlook anything, any specks in the windshield, anything that keeps us from seeing you, that distracts us, distorts our vision, whatever it might be, Lord. I pray for each one here. Pray, Lord, that you would put your finger exactly where we need it. Maybe we need an encouragement. Maybe we need a reprimand. But Lord, I just pray that your spirit would move, that you would convict us, you would help us, draw us into your presence, into experiencing, seeing you for who you are. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. We want to live for you. We want to live with you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake, for his glory. Amen.